buddy. The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate Hour number three underway. Rob, the great one, Lonzo, and you. Texter to the Hub City Spartanburger text line says, Rob, I think you're right about the take. It's just that LSU fans are dumb sometimes. that's good text. I appreciate it. Nolan on the Facebook track says, that ump has a track record of this, supposedly the same ump that ejected Cam Cannarella in an extra innings game in postseason against Tennessee a couple of years ago for yelling at Tennessee players. You are absolutely correct. That is the same umpire that did run Cam Cannarella, and it cost Clemson a lot that year. He was ejected from Major League Baseball for a series of early ejections, and I think there is a trend there. By the way, the first base umpire, the one that fell and got up and immediately called for the two-game suspension for bumping an ump when he definitely didn't get bumped to the ground, he also was run from MLB. So, like, it's kind of one of those things where I might be willing to give some grace, except for this is who you are, man. Like, this is what you do, and you've done it before. All right, we got a phone call to jump in here real quick before we take it to the break. Let's get Kathy on the show. Kathy's got a reaction to the take and the coastal conversation. Kathy, welcome to the Rob Brown Show. I appreciate you taking some time this morning.
My pleasure. I love your show. I love your passion. I love most sports, and I learn something new every day.
You are too kind, Miss Kathy. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. I had the same reaction, and I think I would have had it regardless of the team. It was just wrong, and I quit watching the game after that. It ruined it. It ruined the game, and had it been called against LSU, they'd be saying the same thing. It's just, if you're going to do that job, you got to grow some. I mean, give me a break.
Kathy, you're the best. I love this. First off, I can say, and I say this with great honesty, if the situation was exactly the reverse, I would have the exact same take. I didn't have a dog in that fight. If the situation was exactly reversed, I would have the exact same take. Running a head coach of a national championship team in the national championship series in an elimination game for the national championship because he held up three fingers and said, you've missed three calls. That is a soft move. It has nothing to do with, if this was a national championship game between the other teams, if it was Arkansas and Louisville playing for the title, I'd have had the exact same talk. That's why it was so infuriating.
I agree completely. Love your show. Keep it up.
Thank you, Miss Kathy. I appreciate that. You are welcome.
The look
anytime.
Look on your face. That's all I'm saying.
Listen, when that young lady said,
"No, don't let it go."
If you're gonna do this game, you gotta grow a set. She gets it. Kathy knows ball. She gets it. She feels me. If you are going to be an official that has the privilege, the honor bestowed upon thee to officiate a national championship game at the highest level, not just a national, the national championship game, going in knowing that if LSU wins this thing, ball game over, series over, season over, you cannot go in there with an ego and feelings about yourself. The game's not about you. And this has been my big problem with so many baseball umpires. It is a thankless job. This is a job where the absolute best thing I can say about you is I don't know who the hell you are. That's the biggest compliment I can give an umpire is I don't know who you are. That's true about football referees, basketball referees. The biggest compliment I can give you is I don't know who you are. If I know who you are, it should be for one reason and one reason alone. Scratch that. Two reasons. Either number one, you fill out a shirt like Ed Hockley.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, if you fill out a tank like Ed Hockley, but that's true of anybody. All right, if I walk down Greenville and I see a dude walking around like Guns Hockley, I'm going to be like, hey, bro, good job. Way to not miss arm day, dog. I respect that. But the only other reason that I should know who the hell you are as a game official should be because you have done such a good job for such a long period of time that you've never been discussed before. And somebody after 7-10 years goes, by the way, that's so-and-so who has been an official for X amount of years, and we want to congratulate him on 10 years of service. And I go, damn, I've never brought this guy's name up in 10 years. He must be good at the job. You should not have a nickname. Am I right, Scott Foster, the extender? You shouldn't have a nickname. That means you've done something to earn a nickname. You shouldn't earn a nickname as an official. It's a thankless job. There is a scene from one of my favorite television shows of all time, Parks and Recreation. Leslie Knope, played by Amy Poehler, is the main character. There's a secondary character named Nick Offerman, Ron Swanson, played by a comedian named Nick Offerman. And Offerman's like this super libertarian office worker guy, hates the government, but works for it because he thinks he can break it down from the inside. Amy Poehler is like this unbridled go-getter. She's always out there trying to fix her community, right? And there's a scene where, in an effort to try to fix the community, she goes out and she starts taking comments from the public, like, this should be fixed, this should be, and she just goes out there and tries to fix it. And there's one lady who says, there's slugs in my garden, I want the slugs gone. And Amy Poehler comes out there and she starts putting salt down. Famously, how you get rid of slugs, right? It kills them all. And the lady comes out as Amy Poehler's getting rid of the slugs, and she's like, no, I want you to move them. I don't want them dead, I want them moved. And she's like, you want me to pick up dozens of slugs and relocate them? And she's like, yeah. And then she goes off. So later in the episode, Leslie Knope's talking to Ron Swanson, and she's like, you know, I don't understand. Like, I go out there and I'm doing all this to fix the community, and nobody ever says thank you. It's always criticism, criticism, criticism. And Ron Swanson looks at her and he goes, when you do a thankless job, you should not expect thanks. You should take satisfaction in the work and the quality of it and the product that you put out. Don't be shocked when nobody says thank you for doing a job that is by definition thankless. I am sorry. If you want glory, don't be an umpire. Be a coach. You know the game. Go be a coach. If you want glory, go be a PA announcer or a radio. Like, go do something. I do this job because I like attention. All right?
No.
I like attention.
Come on. Come on.
I don't know what to tell you. I'm like the Deion Sanders of radio. I like attention. So I do a job that says, hey, everybody, listen to me. I don't know what you, like, I'm trying to be honest with you here. If I didn't want attention, then I'd be the guy, this is going to sound awful, but it's the truth. If I didn't want attention and I wanted to work in this industry, I'd be the guy who goes and sets up for remotes. I'd be the guy who shows up, sets up the stuff so that the loudmouth jerks on the radio, like me, can show up, yell, hey, everybody, and get the attention and then leave. But I want the attention. I'm honest, okay? If you want the attention, if you want the game to be about you, then umpiring's not your goal. It should not be your job. That is a thankless job. That the number one compliment I can give to you is, I don't know who you are. And that's great. I shouldn't. Because the game should be about the coaches on the sideline, the players on the field, and nobody else. You are there to do nothing more than call balls and strikes accurately, say out or safe on the base path accurately, and make the rules of the game when the ball's in play be enforced efficiently. That's it. You are not there to be celebrated. You are not there to be honored. You are not there to be talked about, discussed, whatever. And I'm not saying that people shouldn't be celebrated and honored and all that. You should. Everybody, and I mean it when I say it, everybody deserves their time in the sun. Everybody deserves the opportunity to be recognized. Everybody deserves to be celebrated for the good that they do in their life. I completely agree with that. But this is work, dog. This is work, bro. This is your job. I don't get off the radio and parade around the radio station looking for the people that employ me to pat me on the back and tell me how super special, amazing I am. My job is to come in here.
If that ever happens, I want to see it. That would be amazing.
Yeah, right, fair. My job is to come in here, get you guys to listen to, engage with the radio show, go to our sponsors and buy stuff so that they keep giving us money to pay my paycheck. That's my job. And my job, if I left this studio and walked down there and went, hey, somebody tell me how good I am, They would not do that. Yeah, that's what I meant. That's what I meant. Like, it's your job. Do your job. Your job is to go out there, enforce the rules, and then leave the field and make it about the players. That's why we watch. I should never know your name. So to have a moment in a national championship game where you have got 50-some-odd college baseball players out there with an opportunity to enshrine their names in history. When I got two head coaches out there, both at very interesting points in their career. Did I say football coaches? Two baseball coaches out there.
It was more by hand motions. That's why. Yeah, don't. Yeah.
When I got two head coaches out there, and Jay and Kevin, both at very pivotal moments of their career, both in a College World Series final. If Kevin Schnall wins this College World Series for Coastal Carolina, imagine the good that that does, not just for him and not just for Coastal, but for Sun Belt level athletics, lower level college athletics around the country. They're even more on the map. If Jay Johnson goes out there and wins a national championship for LSU, he now replaces Paul Maneri as their go-to golden boy. This is a big spot for both. And in an elimination game, an umpire went, "My feelings are hurt. I'm going to do something about it." No, man. Come on. This game is not about you. And you decided in that moment that the most important person on the diamond was you. Because the head coach's super-duper mean thing that he said of, "You've missed three calls already," quote, end quote. You decided that that moment was bigger than the nine innings of baseball that were either going to send LSU back to Baton Rouge, Louisiana with a national championship trophy, or we're going to give Coastal Carolina nine more innings the next day to try to bring one back to Myrtle Beach. It's not about you. And when I look at Major League Baseball, for years, we have been battling this. College baseball, for years, we have been battling this. There are two reasons I'm pro-robo-ump in baseball. Reason number one, because a ball's a ball and a strike is a strike. And if you can get a laser guidance measurement system that can determine down to the fraction of a millimeter whether it's a ball, it's a ball, or a strike is a strike. When I am watching Yoshinobu Yamamoto from the LA Dodgers miss an immaculate inning, nine pitches, nine strikes, three outs, because an umpire misses a middle fastball that is the most strike of the season, and he rings it up as a ball and cost Yamamoto baseball history. When I watch that happen, no, give me ABS. And the second reason is because ABS is not going to make it about ABS. You can go, "Yo, this ABS sucks," and the ABS will say, "I am not programmed to experience human emotion."
Yeah, okay.
I mean, it won't because it doesn't talk, which is even better. It just says green light, red light. Let's move on. Awesome. Speaking of, let's move on. I don't want my blood pressure going through the roof. Coming up next on the show, an absolute dude. Nate Gardner is the head coach of the football team at North Greenville University. They got a bunch of fan interaction events coming up. They've got camps coming up for both their team and some of the youths of the area. We're going to talk to Nate Gardner about that. They got a golf tournament coming up where you can help support North Greenville University athletics. And we're just going to get his opinion on everything I just ranted about. We'll see. I don't know. Head coaches, umpires, it's a love-hate relationship. Is it more love to hate, hate to love? I don't know. We'll ask Nate when we come back. The Rob Brown Show's on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Yes, it is. The Rob Brown Show is live on the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, Lonzo, and you. Great to have you here on a Friday. Gotta get down on Friday. We are fitting to get down. Because coming up next on the show, well, not next, he's literally on the stream. Right now, the head coach of the North Greenville University Trailblazers football team. He's a dude, Nate Gardner, joining us here on the show. What up, coach? How we feeling, man?
Man, feeling great, man. Just ready to rock and roll. Excited for the season to get here. only 70 something days left, man. Excited for it.
It is these next few weeks, Coach, what we hear on the show call hashtag peak off season, because we're not quite there, but we're getting there. Like, we're close enough to kind of smell it. It feels like, you know, we're a couple of weeks away from the boys getting out there and starting to run some routes and get those timings down and all that. What's this period of time like for you guys up there at NGU as we're getting closer to the fellas showing up for camp?
Okay, so the guys have been on campus for 3 weeks right now. They've been doing some off-season workouts, some player-led stuff. They're out there on the field working together, getting some timing and stuff like that working. They're getting the next week off, going home for the 4th of July. Then they come back and hit another 3 weeks of the same kind of stuff, getting their bodies ready to rock and roll. Then we start camp on August 9th.
What are you looking for when you talk about player-led activities? I mean, I know you guys have – there are rules about what you can do, can't do, what you can watch, can't watch, give guidance, whatever. But when you kind of turn control over to the team and go, hey, it's on you guys to go out there and get the work done, get it done the right way, I'll see you in a few weeks. What's that period of time like for you as a head coach? Does it make you nervous that they're going to put the right work in, or are you making sure you're recruiting and signing guys that you know are the guys that are going to go out there and bust it?
Well, you're making sure you're recruiting the guys that are going to go out there and bust their butts for you, and you're also making sure that you're empowering the guys that are going to go out there and lead it the right way. So having a player-led locker room, that starts right now. These guys are developing chemistry with each other and going out and just developing that camaraderie and that passion to go out and play for each other. And that's something that we want to instill in these guys and have them go out and perform their best this fall.
How important is it for you as a coach to – you mentioned empowering the athletes to make sure that they feel that they have autonomy and authority to do things the way they need to be done. How important is that for a head coach to make sure that the boys in the locker room feel like, hey, you guys are part of the voice of this program, part of the leadership of this program as well? And how do you go about making sure that they feel like they have that level of autonomy over themselves within the NGU program?
All right, so I think it's super vital, man. The players, that's how you develop a championship team in my mind. You got to have a team that's going to play for each other and that's going to run their locker room and manage it themselves. Because if it's all just coming from me, it's going to fall on deaf ears eventually. They're going to get tired of just hearing me saying the same thing over and over. It's got to come from within too. So finding those guys that are the leaders in that locker room, empowering those guys, giving them the tools to go in there and be that leader and develop that leadership amongst them. It's pretty awesome to be able to do that. And I trust my staff too. My staff goes in and teaches these guys. They're teaching them on a day-to-day, day in and day out basis, and helping develop those guys. And it's a great asset to have with the staff that I have. I've got a pretty amazing staff too. I don't know if y'all heard, but we had a new addition to the staff recently.
Coach, that's what we call a cliffhanger there. I mean, you might as well just keep going with that, Coach.
Oh, I wanted to leave you on your toes a little bit.
I respect it.
Got Coach Cotchery, former head coach at Limestone, one of my former teammates when I was with the Jets. He's going to come in and be helping us out too this fall.
How's he fit in? What's the deal there?
He's going to help out with the receivers, passing game stuff, a little bit of the coordinator stuff. He's going to help me with some of the head coach stuff too. Like, he's been a head coach now for a year, so he's going to be there to just be an asset to me when I need him.
I love it. I love it. Nate Garner is the head coach at North Greenville University, the Trailblazers, joining us here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. And I do want to point out, Coach, that when you say Coach Cotchery, we're talking about Jericho Cotchery, the NFL wide receiver who had a ton of success in the game. I like that you're just dropping it like, hey, we got a dude. It's Jericho Cotchery, man.
Oh, yeah, man. Hey, I got a couple of my former team. All three of the other NFL guys on staff are all former teammates of mine. So it's pretty awesome to have those guys on board.
I love it. I love it. Nate Garner joining us here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Up. Say, all right, we got we mentioned the camps coming up here. And when we talk about the camp, we're talking about obviously the boys getting out there. But you guys are also doing some other stuff. And while I do want to talk about all the camps, you know, got to give some love to the big boys specifically. We're running, and I quote, big man camp at NGU.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's going to coincide with our team 7-on-7 camp, a big man camp. We got some guys that have some NFL experience that are going to be out there running that big man camp. We got quite a few guys signed up. Love to have some more. I got a cool little add-on for all those high school coaches that might want to be in our 7-on-7. It's only $50 to bring your whole big man crew. Bring all of them. They're good to go. If not, it's an individual sign-up of $50. So Just trying to make sure some of my coaches can earn a couple of dollars.
I like that. I like that. Talk to me about these camps. You've got the Team 7-on-7 camp. You've got the big man camp that is a part of that as well. How important is it for you to run these camps, both as a football program, obviously putting eyes on talent that's around and starting to get them involved with the Trailblazer program, but also for you guys to be able to kind of give back to some of the local kids and give them an opportunity to kind of start putting their feet in the ground in the college football world?
Oh, man, it's an awesome experience, man, just to be able to get those guys on campus, let them see what we have to offer, too. So we're selling ourselves when they come out as well. Like, they got to see what the university has to offer, what we have to offer as a coaching staff. It's great to have them here. It's a great recruiting tool for us, and it's great to evaluate these guys. You get them on campus, get to see what they look like, get to see them early on, too. That's a really cool asset, too, especially if they get some 27s that come in. Hey, I've got eyes on a guy 2 years before he's going to be in our cycle, really. You know, so it'll be nice to get those guys on campus. Then we got the youth camp coming up. That's July 14th. That's free, man. We want all those young kids from eighth grade and under to come on out, and they can sign up on the website. It's at ngufootballcamps.com. And just so I know how many kids I'm going to have. Right now, we've got about 90 kids signed up. I want as many as that want to come out here. We're going to have a good time for them. Give them a couple hours. All you parents out there, send your kids out here, get them worn out. They'll go back home and take a nap, you know?
That's the nice thing about Florida, Coach. I don't need a football camp to go home and take a nap, but I respect what you're doing. What are you when you do these camps? Whether it's the 7-on-7 camp, the big man camp, the free youth camp, to kind of teach kids, the young kids, how to play the game the right way. What's the priority for you when you get out there? Like, what is it that you're trying to instill in the next generation of football players?
Man, the biggest thing I want is all these kids to have fun. That's the number one thing. I think you got to have fun. You got to be able to learn how to compete and still have fun. That's something I'm bringing to the team as well. Like, we're having fun every single day. Like, this morning for their workout, they did. They were not allowed to wear NGU gear. Since we're going into the 4th of July, we want them to wear some 4th of July, like, get festive this morning at the workout. So we had some guys out there in all their different festive outfits. Our strength coach came in. He was wearing a plate carrier and some cutoff jeans, like he was about to go out on the boat. You know what I mean? So yeah, it was an awesome little setup this morning.
Anybody breaking out the Jason Kelce patriotic gear?
We didn't get that far. But pretty close.
Nate Garner, head coach at North Greenville University, here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. I have for years. I used to volunteer. I need to get back into it. I used to volunteer to coach basketball at the youth level. And my thing that I used to tell parents when I coached at that level is, yeah, I'm going to teach your kids how to play the game, but to me, it is also about teaching the kids how to play the game about the right way, how to keep yourself accountable for being the best you can be accountable as a great teammate, et cetera, and kind of build that foundation of being a great player doesn't just mean having great skills at the game. It's also about all these other things that go into making sure you're giving the team the best opportunity around you. Is that kind of one of the approaches you take, especially when you're doing these youth camps?
Oh, yeah, especially the youth camps, man. You teach the kids, like, a lot of kids haven't faced adversity in their life. So you got to put them through a little bit of adversity, push them a little bit so they can understand where their limits are and things like that. But, yeah, you want to teach them the right fundamentals. Like me, I'm going to be honest. I was never the best athlete. I was not. I was always in the right position at the right time. That was what I was able to do. And that was just from learning knowledge of the game. That's what I try to teach all these guys, especially my team. I want them to understand you don't got to be the best athlete to be on the field. You got to be the guy who's going to be in the right spot at the right time and make the right play. That's all it is.
I had a high school coach who said, you don't have to be great. I need you to be the guy that knows when to take the charge and is willing to take the charge. That's the dude who's going to hold this team together. I love it. Nate Garner, head coach at North Greenville University. On top of all those things, as Coach just mentioned, if you go participate in this, there's a host of NFL dudes who are going to be there to teach you. I mean, that just seems like something you'd almost kind of be foolish to miss that opportunity, Coach. Here's a sales pitch for you.
Oh, yeah. Hey, they would be. I mean, you're going to have some great instruction from these guys, especially at our prospect camps. Those are July 15th and 17th. And the 17th one is going to be at night. So under the lights here at the stadium, man, at Yount Stadium, it's going to be pretty awesome. It's a unique thing. I don't think we've ever done one here before, so I'm looking forward to doing that.
Coach Nate Garner of North Greenville University joining us here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. And on top of that, just to kind of give the people enough time to make sure they're registered, get involved, you guys have the golf tournament coming up on July 29th at Cherokee Valley Golf Course out in TR. Talk to us a little bit about this tournament, where the pre-seeds are going, how it's going to help out NGU.
Oh man, it's going to go to help out. If I can raise enough, it's actually going to help us build a new locker room. That's my ultimate goal. If I can get all my sponsorships filled and everything, that's what I want. Cause that is the one thing that we're lacking here. Like, we have great facilities across the board. Our weight room is immaculate. Our stadium is absolutely amazing. We're getting a new Jumbotron put in. But as far as for the player, our locker room is very, very dated. Like, we still got plywood lockers and all that. So I'd love to be able to get in there and be able to help them do that. If we don't raise enough money for that, hey, what I'm going to do is I'm going to invest that back into the team. I'm probably going to enhance some of our meals that we're going to have on away games, maybe get us some different field equipment. It's all going to go to the team, man. I'm trying to help them do something to improve every single day. So that's the whole point of this golf tournament, man. It's for guys to come out and have fun. I want as many alumni to come out, too. That's something that I've heard time and time again, is that a lot of our football alumni, they want to be engaged. Hey, guys, I want y'all to come out. I want y'all to be around. And it doesn't just have to be for the golf tournament. Y'all are welcome around. Any NGU alumni is a welcome on campus here any time of day. They can come in my office, sit down. I had a guy who showed up. We had a soccer camp here. His daughter was in it. He just stopped by the office and came in and said, hey, coach, I just wanted to introduce myself. Hey, tell all your buddies, come on around. I want those guys to be around. Give back to this team with just their time. Talk to these guys. Give them a word of wisdom. Give them some advice. It's awesome.
I love it. Nate Garner, head coach at North Greenville University here on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. You open to like a little long drive challenge? Like, can some folks come out and try to see if they can take the big stick a little longer than you, if they'll maybe put a little extra donation on the line for some pride there?
Oh, it might be a fun one. Hey, the problem is I can hit the ball. It might go 400 yards, but it's going to be 400 yards to the right or to the left.
I mean, listen, we're just talking distance, coach. I didn't say hit it on the straight line. I just said who can get it out there further. You know what I mean?
Well, it might ain't even going to end up on the fairway. Hey, my goal when I go play golf is to not lose 18 balls. If I can lose less than a ball a hole, I'm happy.
I cannot tell you how much I respect that, Nate Garner. I really, yes, same thing. I lose balls on the range, all right? That's the struggle. Ronnie, the AD, was like, hey, man, if you want to come out and play, which I absolutely do, but I said, I'm going to tell you right now, Nate's going to outdrive me by 50 yards, and I'm not going to be able to find the ball to prove it. And he kind of laughed, but I'm glad you're telling me we're going to be on the same page hunting through neighborhoods to find a second shot.
Oh, most definitely. Hunting all around, all in the tall grass, everything, man. But if anyone wants to sign up for a team or maybe be a sponsor, it's alphagolfclassic.com for that. And I got a couple of sponsors I'd love to shout out, if you wouldn't mind, and a couple of prizes and silent auction items we got. So I've got a couple of trips to the Bahamas that have been given to me. One of my buddies, like I said, owns an airline down there in Florida. So he's given a flight to Bimini. We're working on getting one resorts in Bimini to give us a night stay there. Atlantis Paradise Island gave us a two-night stay and a round of golf at their Ocean Club golf course. So we're going to be silent auctioning that off. The Dolphins have given me something from the 72 team. It's a lithograph thing. Got a couple of my jerseys from the Dolphins there. And then Dick Brooks Honda. They're one of our sponsors, and they're dealing with one of the hole-in-one prizes, which will be a new car from them.
Beauty. Gotta love that.
And the other hole-in-one prize I get, that's a big-time deal, is if you get a hole-in-one, you can get a trip to the Super Bowl. All flight paid for. I think it's 3 or 4 nights in a hotel. Access to all the NFL alumni events, all this stuff. So it's a pretty cool experience,
man. Nice. Somebody, not me, but somebody can win that thing. I can't hit a green on a par 3 to save my life, but somebody might win a trip to the Super Bowl. That tournament is going to be on July 29th at the Cherokee Valley Golf Club in Traveler's Rest. You can go to alphagolfclassic.com to get yourself set up. Coach Nate, by the way, you heard all the umpire official talk a second ago. Guy makes a bad call on the football field. You got some words?
You gotta let them know a little bit. You gotta say, hey, listen, you gotta check that one on the replay when you watch it back. But I'm not a big against the officials guy. Like, I've always been kind of try to keep them in my back pocket, try to treat them the right way. So much so that I had a white hat apologize to me in a preseason game for throwing a flag on me. So I've always tried to play it right with those guys.
If you get a ref to apologize, you're just a big sweetheart, Nate Garner. That's just all there is to it, man. Like, I know some people take that the wrong way. You shouldn't. That's just a sweetheart move.
Oh, yeah. Hey, it was funny. He goes, man, if I'd known that was you, I wouldn't have thrown that. So I was like, oh, wow. That made me feel pretty good, you know? So I've always treated them the right way. I try to do that now. Like, we had the officials out for all of our spring scrimmages we had try to treat them the right way there. Just try to pick their brain, learn what they're looking for, and try to play to the edge of the rules, if you will.
To the edge of the rules. I respect that. Nate Gardner is the head coach at North Greenville University. You can check out their camp information at ngufootballcamps.com. They've got the Team 7-on-7 camp. They've got the Big Man Camp as a part of that, the free youth camp coming up, as well as Prospect Day and Prospect Night and Flight School and everything else that coach is in charge. Buddy, you're going to need a nap in the next couple of weeks, pal.
Oh, yeah. I need one right now. I drove I was on the road for about 20 hours yesterday. So
that's fair. Wait, what? Oh, yeah. 20 hours?
Oh, yeah. I had to take my youngest down to Pensacola to Camp Mimi, you know. So go take him to grandma's house for a little bit and drove down and drove back in the same day.
You couldn't get Ronnie to stick you on an airplane?
It was more fun to drive.
I respect it. Nate Gardner, head coach at North Greenville University. Man, great to have you back on the show, brother. We'll do it again once we get up to camps and keep people updated on the T-Blazers, baby.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much, man. I appreciate y'all having me on.
Anytime. Nate Gardner, head coach at North Greenville. When we come back, Rashad Beard of the Panther Nation podcast. We're talking Carolina Panther football next on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Thanks to Nate Gardner, the head coach at North Greenville University, for talking a little football with us in the last segment. We talk a little football again here because joining us now officially moving forward on Fridays at 8:40, because I assume he just got a promotion, put him into that seven-figure salary range, got to be in the office now on Thursdays. The host of the Panther Nation podcast, Rashad Beard, jumping on the show. What's up, big dog? How we doing?
Yeah, I wish I was getting that seven-figure raise. Not quite, but you know, we're here. I appreciate you moving and being fluid with me so I can hang out on Fridays.
The Becky Black banger for Rashad Beard here on the show. No, man, happy to do it. As long as you've been showing up and doing this for free, you can pick your shot. I'm good with that. Let's catch up, man. Where are we at? We've got our draft guys that have been in. We've gone through rookie camp. We have gone through mini camp. We are well on our way to OTAs. What's the vibe, man?
The vibes are good. You know, just kind of monitoring injuries, making sure guys are getting back healthy. You know, Derek Brown recovering. You got Tommy Trimble recovering. So we just watching some guys. It's obviously the slow part of the season, as you said. You know, camps are kind of over and we're kind of in that dead period right before training camp, and things pick back up at that point. But you know, it's pretty slow. I'm going to be honest. There's not much going on in the realm of Carolina Panthers, but the feeling is good. The vibes are up at this point, and we're excited to see Panthers football, man.
So you brought up Derek Brown there. I made a point. I was on our nationally syndicated show on Tuesday night, and the host said, "If I gave you $100 of Jamie Foxx's money, What's your most confident NFC futures bet?" And my response was Panthers on the over win total, and I would probably take a little bit of it and slice it off to put it on Panthers to win the division. They asked why, and I said, here's why. We can talk about BY. We can talk about Dave Canales. We can talk about Teterell McMillan. We can talk about Chuba Hubbard. Talk about the offensive line, which are all positives right now, right? Like, it's getting more and more difficult to find a negative spot. I said, here's what I think you guys are missing. Defense is healthy. Defense is much, much better this year. Defense filled in some gaps, and you get Derek Brown back, to which I said, I think Derek Brown might be the best defensive tackle in the NFL. And I think because of the injuries and some of the other setbacks, he doesn't look that way. When that man is healthy and in the game, I think he might be the best defensive tackle in the NFL. Two of the dudes on the network said I was a lunatic, and one of them agreed with me. Where would you land on that statement, as unbiased as it's possible for you to be?
Yeah, best defensive tackle in the league? I don't know. I don't know about that. I can't stamp that, especially coming off the injury. We need to see how he bounces back before I can go there and stamp that.
Top five?
Easily top five. Easily top five DT in the league. Easily. I think the kid has been underrated. Obviously, being a small market team, you don't get that shine that most of the other guys do. And so I think Derek Brown has slowly developed year over year over year and finally got in his groove. I think he had to get that grown man strength to him. I think a lot of people don't kind of pay attention to that transition coming from college to the NFL. It takes some time for those interior guys to get right. And so especially handling the physicality of the game. And so Derrick Brown just got consistently better. And I think people underestimate. And I know when we talk about how bad the defense was last year, and I know we were historically terrible. I get that. Trust me, I watch it every week. You don't need to tell me how bad we were. I know. But just getting Derrick Brown back alone easily makes his defense much, much better. And I tell you what, man, just listen to Evero talk about the defense. He knows that too. That's why he is so confident in his job, right, and his ability to coach that football team. He has to have the dogs, and I think he's going to get the dogs back. He added some guys to that defense, like you mentioned, and now we're off to the races. But Derrick Brown, absolutely one of the top defensive tackles in the league for sure. I can't stamp the best, but he is top for sure, top five.
I respect it. I'm good with that. Let me throw another one at you, and we are in the radio world at the point that I address as peak off season, right? Like there's just not a lot going on. We're close. We can smell it. We can see it coming over the hill, but we're peak off season right now. So let's do a peak off season thing. Madden 26 team ratings dropped. All right. They got Kansas City and San Francisco at 92, Baltimore at 91, top three teams. They've got you guys at fourth worst with a rating of 79. But it is interesting because that is one higher than the Washington Commanders, who were in the playoffs last year. That is the same point total or value that the Denver Broncos playoff team last year had, a 79. You good with it? Or can the EA folks catch a little smoke right now?
No, I mean, I get it. You know, again, historically bad defense. You know, you got some question marks. So I get Madden. And Madden, listen, Madden adjusts those ratings. They know what they're doing, right? They put the ratings out there, get the buzz, get the talk going. And then they adjust them during the season. So I expect us to get that in-season adjustment as things progress throughout the season, and we'll get better. But I can respect that grade as of right now. I get it. I understand how it works. You got to kind of, you know, grade what was in front of you last year, and we weren't that great. We added some pieces, and hopefully they will account for that. But I respect that grade for right now.
I don't hate it, but it's peak off season. What's that grade going to be at the end of the year?
Man, you got to put us at least the 82. What's middle of the pack?
Middle of the pack right now. Let me get him pulled back up here. Middle of the pack right now is around an 84. They got got Tampa and Atlanta both at an 84. They got the Saints at an 83. Those are all in the middle of the pack.
If the Saints are 83 right now, then we're probably 84. I'll rock with an 84, and I'll go in the hodgepodge of the NFC South. Give us the 84 as well. Book it.
You know, I'm not even mad about that, to be honest with you. Like I'm probably more mad about the Saints having an 84 than I am at you guys having a 78 or whatever it was. That's,
man, I get it. I get it though. You know, we were historically bad, so I understand it, and that's just the nature of the business when you were that bad last year, and we got better towards the end of the season. So come on, Madden folks, bump, give us that bump though. We need that bump.
I respect it. Rashad Beard, host of the Panther Nation podcast here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate, moving from Thursdays to Fridays now at 8:40 here on the show. I'm looking at, why not, since we're already here, what the hell? I'm looking at the QB rankings. They have got your boy, Baby Bryce, down at a 75 overall. That is the same stat as Caleb Williams, higher than Kirk Cousins, Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, Michael Penix Jr., Anthony Richardson, J.J. McCarthy, Gardner Minshew, and Joe Flacco. It is slightly behind quarterbacks like 77, Bo Nix, 76, Derek Carr, cool. Aaron Rodgers at a 77, Sam Darnold and Russell Wilson at 78. I'm actually really okay with that, I think, right now.
Nah, we got to be better than Sam Darnold. You got to put us, you got to give Bryce a 79 right now. Let's put Bryce at 79. I think that's where he deserves to be until he shows improvement. But I think that's the ultimate grade that will bump this entire team up to that 84 that we mentioned earlier. So you got to get Bryce up. He's going to get that bump for sure.
79, by the way, would put him even with Kyler Murray and Geno Smith, two rating points behind C.J. Stroud and Tua Tagovailoa.
I'm okay with that. So give him a 79 for right now. I respect that.
I'm okay with that, too. All right, got a couple more for Rashad Beard as we work our way through the final segment of the 3 o'clock hour here, the third hour here.
I was going to say, man, you're jumping.
Dude, I'm getting my ass kicked today, Rashad.
Let's go.
Are you having one of them Fridays, like your schedule got flipped up this week? You having one of them days? Because I'm having one of them days.
No, it's been a good week, man. I can't complain. This week has been great.
cool.
Close strong, Rob. Close strong.
We're doing our best, buddy.
Yeah, don't disparage him for having a good week.
Yeah, don't try to pull me down too, man. Come on.
I'm not trying. It ain't the goal, I promise. Rashad Beard from the Panther Nation podcast here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upset. All right, we got these couple of weeks. We got a couple of weeks till we get back out there for big camp. We're really not that far away from starting to see the joint practices, which are always kind of a big deal. Preseason's still a couple of months away, but the gap is closing. In this two-week period, we're seeing players go out and do events. I got Chuba Hubbard meeting people at a Lowe's and taking pictures. I got Bryce Young out there throwing camps for youth players around the country. I think that's all fantastic. From a football perspective, what are you looking for right now? Like, what does Rashad Beard want to hear to feel like the train keeps moving?
Yeah, so there's a couple things out there that I do like that I'm seeing. We got tight end university right now. So all of our tight ends are in Nashville right now. Jatavion Sanders, Tommy Tremble, Mike Mitchell Evans, all these guys are out there training with legends like Greg Olsen. So that's good to see, seeing your guys train. I just saw a clip that the route guy is now teaching and working with Xavier Leggett. That's what I want to see these guys working right now. I want to see them out there working, getting better in their craft, and I think that's great to see. And again, it's downtime. Hopefully they're enjoying themselves, staying away from injuries, you know, not jumping in front of a microphone saying, hey, it's too cold outside, so I'm not going to play. We don't want to see those types of things. You know what I mean? We don't want to hear those types of things from our guys. But seeing them train and getting better, that's what we want to see, man. Just, again, no injuries and just keep staying healthy, man, staying positive. That's all. No, it's not much you can do right now. It's a really low point in the offseason.
No, it really is. It's peak offseason. I made the joke earlier, yeah. Like, it's what I call ranking season. This is the spot where dudes around the country are grabbing mics and going, oh, it's ranked the top 10 toughest NFL stadiums to play in. Like, I still want to talk football, but it's tough to do because we are just kind of waiting. I did see that. And the TEU thing, I think, is really interesting because you do have the guys like Kelsey out there. You do have the George Kittles out there. They got the folks that are out there doing training. Like, I kind of had that same vibe of, I don't really know what specifically they're going to do, but I do know that I expect a tight end heavy presence in the pass game this year. So to see that you guys sent the whole squad of TEs to get better, that is one of those things that for an off-season moment, you're like, hey, it feels good that the boys are out there getting the work in.
Yeah, and again, if you're looking to get better at something, why not surround yourself with guys that have done it at a very high level? And you're rubbing elbows with Travis Kelce, the active guys, right? Not only active guys, the retired guys like Greg Olsen, the Panther legend. I'm sure that's why our guys are there to be there with Greg and support Greg at tight end university. So we have been there every year. All our tight ends go. You know, we got some old tight ends there too, like Ian Thomas, who I think now is with the Raiders. But yeah, it's good to see those guys out there, you know, sharpening their craft and getting better, man. That's what you want to see. And if you keep surrounding yourself with that type of talent, eventually something should rub off. If something doesn't rub off, that's a problem. But you give yourself a better chance if you're out there rubbing elbows with these guys. So I like it.
All right, last one before we catch
you. No chance they're there to see Taylor Swift either. There's no chance at all.
Maybe.
It could be there.
Slight chance. You never know.
Hey. We stand Tay-Tay on this show. You say what you want. Judge me how you want. All right? There is a conspiracy theory going on around the Panther social media network right now, Rashad. I'm sure you've seen it. A lot of the content dropped by the Panther social media squad over the past couple of weeks has had pictures in black helmets, has had backgrounds of all black with the blue trim to it, has had different stylized black around it. And there is some thought that potentially we could see not just a return of, but a focus on the black lids this year. A, do you agree? And B, are you here for it? Because I'm going to keep it a buck. I think the all black shell's best look.
Yeah, the all black is a great, great uniform. I question, there's been some buzz around that being the primary uniform. I don't think that's going to be the case just because it's so hot, and I don't know that they're going to do that. I thought when I saw some of those clips and those hype films that, you know, they were going to add maybe like a monochrome theme with having like a little silver or gray in there. And I don't know, man. I'm hesitant to say we need a complete overhaul of our uniforms, because I don't think that that's the case. I really like our uniforms. I like this, the silver helmet. I'm probably one of the few that do like the silver helmet. I like the touch of the black. I think it's great to have an alternative black helmet. Go with the all blacks, kind of sprinkle it in with the process blue. I think it's dope. I think we have some of the best uniform combinations out there. So I don't know, man. I hope they tweak it, play around with it at some point, but I don't think they're going to do too much with it. I think they're just kind of get the buzz going, as they know as well as peak off season. So they're trying to, you know, get get the buzz and the talk going. And I think that's all they were attempting to do.
There are three teams that look good in all black: the Jets, mine, and yours. I stand on that.
Yeah, yeah. I think Detroit has an all-black, too, if I'm not mistaken. I think they're pretty solid, even though I think they swagger-jacked us a little bit, but it's all right. Shout out to the Lions, man. They definitely swagger-jacked us, though.
I've never heard the term swagger-jacked.
I've learned a new word. I'm going to use that all day. Yeah.
I've never felt like an older mid-white dude in my
life,
but
neither one of us
will
sound as cool as Rashad saying it, but we're going to say it for sure.
Rashad Beard, host of the Panther Nation podcast from this point forward, joining us on Fridays at 8:40 to talk Panther football. Big Dog, appreciate you. We'll talk to you next week, brother.
I appreciate you guys. Thank you so much.
Anytime. Make sure you follow them on X at Panther Nation PC. Make sure, more importantly, you're subscribed on YouTube to the Panther Nation podcast. Make sure you stick around for the next 60 seconds for this sports flash.
Wow. That was underwhelming. The New York Mets took a 4-0 shutout. Yeah, like a few more seconds, it hurt. Win over Atlanta last night to split a 4-game series. Grant Holmes gave up 6 hits and 2 runs over 5 innings, striking out 6. Atlanta had just 3 hits on the night, none of them for extra bases, and went 0-for-4 with runners in scoring position. Atlanta gets Philly at home for 3 games starting tonight. Charlotte Hornets, also known as the Charlotte Hornets, opened up the second day of the draft with a pair of picks at 32 and 33. They opened by drafting Cyan James out of Duke, a 6'5 forward perimeter player. Then the Buzz took Ryan Kalkbrenner, a 7-1 big man from Creighton. Aaron Judge and Shohei Ohtani are the first two players selected for the July 15th All-Star Game in Atlanta. The two led Major League Baseball with over 3.9 million votes apiece.